Chapter 27, The Dragon. The sky was radiant in the mild morning light as Firedrake approached the village with Ben and Sorrel, and the sun was not yet too hot for comfort. Flocks of white seabirds circled above the dragon, announcing his arrival with excited cries. The villagers were waiting for him, standing outside their huts with children in their arms. The beach had been sprinkled with flower petals. Paper kites flew above the roofs of the huts, and even the smallest children were wearing their best clothes. Ben felt like a king sitting high above them on the dragon's back. He looked for the ravens, but there wasn't one in sight. However, the village cats, white, ginger, tabby, black and white, and tortoiseshell, were all over the place, on rooftops, outside huts, in the branches of trees. Firedrake walked over the flower petals and past the cats and the people until he saw Barnabas Greenbloom. He stopped in front of the professor. The onlookers respectfully retreated a few steps. Only Zubaydah and Guinevere stayed put. "My dear Firedrake," said Barnabas, bowing low, "the sight of you makes me almost as joyful today as it did when we first met. You will meet my wife later, but let me introduce my daughter, Guinevere. And this lady is Dr. Zubaydah Khalib, the most famous dracologist in the world, who will help you to fly at the dark time of the moon." Firedrake turned his head to her. "Can you really do that?" he asked.
I think so, Astaha," Zubaydah bowed, smiling. "Astaha would be the word for you in our language. Kuhe Aziz, God be with you. Do you know? I imagined your eyes exactly as they are."
Tentatively, she raised her hand to touch Firedrake's scales. At that, the children lost the last of their fear. They clambered down from their parents' arms, surrounded the dragon, and patted him. Firedrake patiently put up with it and nuzzled them gently one by one. The giggling children hid between his legs, and the bravest made their way up the spines of his tail to sit on his back. Unsettled by all this, Sorrel had been watching the crowd of humans uneasily. Her ears were twitching, and even nibbling a mushroom couldn't calm her down. She was used to avoiding human beings and hiding whenever she smelled or heard them. Ben had changed that, but so many humans all at once made her brownie heart beat alarmingly fast. When the first small boy appeared behind her, she was so startled that she dropped her mushroom.
"Hey, you there, small human," she snapped at the boy. "Get down."
Frightened, the boy ducked into shelter behind Firedrake's spines.
"Leave him alone, Sorrel," said Ben soothingly. "You can see Firedrake doesn't mind, can't you?"
Sorrel just growled, clutching her backpack tight. But the boy wasn't interested in the backpack. He was staring at the furry brownie girl, asking a question in a soft voice. Two more children appeared behind him.
"What's he after?" growled Sorrel. "I don't understand much of this human language of theirs."
"He wants to know," interpreted Twigleg, who was sitting between Ben's legs, "if you're a small demon."
"Oh, what?"
Ben grinned. "A kind of evil spirit?"
"Oh, thanks a lot."
Sorrel made a ferocious face at the children.
"No, I'm not. I am a brownie, a forest brownie."
"Do we die?"
asked a girl, pointing at Sorrel's furry coat.
"No, what are they talking about?" asked the brownie girl, wrinkling her nose.
"It seems to be the word for brownie, or woodland spirit in these parts," said Twigleg. "But they wonder why you've only got two arms."
"Only two?" Sorrel shook her head. "Some people around here have more than two, do they?"
One brave little boy reached out his hand, hesitated for a moment, and then patted Sorrel's paw. She flinched at first, but decided to put up with it.
The boy said something quietly.
"Hmm," said Sorrel. "I understood that bit. The little human with skin like a babe will eat, as Mushroom says. I look like a cat goddess." "How about that, then?"
Feeling flattered, she preened and stroked her spotted coat. "Come on, Sorrel," said Ben. Let's give him a little more space up here. We can sit on Firedrake's back any time, but it's a new experience for these children." Sorrel shook her head vigorously.
"What, get down there? No, no way."
She clung tight to Firedrake's spines.
"No, I'm staying up here. Now you get down and let your own kind trample you underfoot."
"Very well then, stay put then, you furry grumble guts." Ben put Twigleg in his backpack and clambered past the children to climb down from Firedrake's back. A little girl had hung a garland of flowers over the dragon's horns, and he was licking the tip of her nose. More and more children climbed up on Firedrake's back,
clutched his spines, tugged at the dragon rider's leather straps, and stroked the dragon's warm silver scales. Sorrel sat in the middle of this throng with her arms folded, keeping a tight grip on her backpack.
"Sorrel's in a mood," Ben whispered in the dragon's ear. Firedrake glanced over his shoulder and nodded in amusement.
"Uh-huh."
The grown-ups were crowding around the dragon, too, touching him and trying to catch his eye. Firedrake turned to Zubaydah, who was watching the children on his back and smiling.
"Tell me," he said, "how can I fly at the dark time of the moon?"
"We need a quieter place to discuss that," replied the dragologist. "Let me show you where I found the answer to the secret."
She raised her hands, bangles jingling, the rings on her fingers flashing in the sunlight. Immediately all was still. The excited voices died away. The children slid off Firedrake's back, and there was no sound to be heard but the roaring of the sea. Zubaydah addressed the villagers.
I am taking the dragon to the tomb of the dragon rider now,"
Twiglake translated.
"I have important matters to discuss with him. Matters that must not come to the wrong ears. Yeah."
The people of the village looked up at the sky. Zubaydah had told them about the ravens, but apart from a flock of white seabirds making for the river, the sky was empty. An old man stepped forward and said something.
"They're going to prepare the feast now,"
Twiglake translated.
"A feast to celebrate the return of the dragons and the dragon rider."
"A feast?" asked Ben. "For us?"
Zubaydah turned to him, smiling. "Of course. They won't want you to leave before they give a party for you.
These people believe that a dragon brings a year of good luck and rain, which is the best luck of all in these parts."
Ben looked up at the blue sky. "Doesn't look much like rain," he said.
"Who knows? Dragon's luck can come as suddenly as the wind," replied Zubaydah. "But follow me," she turned, beckoning Firedrake with her ringed fingers.
The dragon was about to set off after her when Guinevere shyly tapped his foreleg.
"Please," she said. "Do you think I'd be too heavy for you? I mean, I was just wondering, could you possibly..."
Firedrake bent his neck. "Climb on," he said. "I could carry 10 people your size and hardly notice."